All right, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and we're going to read verses 21 through 24 together. We'll read this passage responsively, then I'll pray, and then our choir will sing, and then we will get into the message here. But Psalm 71, verses 21 through 24, we'll read this responsively. I'll read verse 21, you join me on verse 22, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. Psalm 71, verse 21, "Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt." And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Lord, this old world is pretty rough on people. It's pretty tough out there. It can get discouraging, but I pray that today your people will be encouraged and lifted up, and Lord, that they would be just better for you and better for life because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 71 is a very interesting passage, and I just want you to listen to me. I'll use the passage today. We'll refer to it. But I'm going to need your attention. I'm going to need your minds. I want you to... I know you're listening when I can see your eyeballs. So if I can see your eyeballs, I know you're listening to me, especially you young people. And I need you to listen to me. And by the way, sometimes I'll get on our young people, not because they're bad. Sometimes they've not been taught how they're supposed to behave in church. And I'm not angry with them, but gonna learn them how to behave in church. Amen. So I want you to get your faces up and get your eyeballs on me. I know I'm not the greatest person in the world to look at, but I am better looking than you, so don't worry about it. What are you laughing at, Joe? When he looks in the mirror, it says, "Does not compute." All right, but so... All right. Now, I'm going to start with a negative statement, but I need to, and just listen to me. You'll see where I'm going here. I am totally against the mentality of the day of this power of positive thinking garbage. All right. That is a worldly, philosophical, well, just think it to be so, and it will be so. Just think positively, and everything comes out pussycats and pussy willows. That's garbage. I don't care how positively you think, it doesn't change anything. Let me show you what I mean. I can say, I positively think that if I drop my keys, they're not going to fall. I just believe God that if I drop my keys, they're not going to fall. I'm thinking positively that if I drop my keys, they're not going to fall. Guess what? It doesn't matter how positive, well, you weren't thinking positively enough. Well, I don't care how positively you think. If you throw something up in the air or drop it, it's going to hit the ground. You're not going to change something just because of your positive mental attitude. Now, it may make you feel better about what's going to happen, but you're not going to change it. So I say that to say this bad worldly philosophy, this humanist philosophy of the power of positive thinking or positive mental attitude, PMA or whatever you want to call it, it is wrong and it's not a biblical philosophy. Now, we even have religious people. We have religious preachers and we have people that will get up and they preach the doctrine of faith like spiritual, positive, mental attitude, and that is wrong. And I believe in living by faith. God knows I believe in living by faith. If I did not believe in living by faith, we wouldn't be entering into the fourth year of a church and building a building and everything else we're doing. But just so you know, it's not positive mental attitude. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. We're going to do this. No, we have the confidence of the Word of God. Living by faith is you doing everything you can do and let God take care of that which you cannot do.
Amen.
That is living by faith.
Yes.
It's not this, well, I believe God wants me to give my mortgage money this week to the church, and God's going to take care of my needs. No, you're asking the mortgage company to live by faith, not you.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I believe in you paying your bills and give. And by the way, a tithe is a bill to God. And when you pay your bills, and I don't, you say, you don't want somebody to give their mortgage money? No. I want you to pay your mortgage so that you don't lose your house. But I also want you to pay your tithes so that you're obedient to God. And I want you to pay your other bills. I'm not going to be one of these preachers to get up and say, well, what we're going to do is have a give it all Sunday. And I'm not saying churches are sinful for this, but I'm not going to ask you to give your entire paycheck and live by faith that God's going to provide the rest for your needs.
Right.
No, that's not you living by faith. That's you asking your creditors to live by faith.
That's right.
And that's not living by faith. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
You say, well, you're not going to raise a lot of money that way. No, but we're going to be obedient to God in the process.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, we have this charismatic, spiritualistic power of positive thinking spiritually even. Well, just believe God and everything's going to come out okay. Can I tell you something? It didn't work real well for Jesus that way. Well, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. That is not found anywhere in that book.
That's right.
Nowhere. There is a law of sowing and reaping. There is a law of sin and death. There is a law, and just like there is a law of gravity, no matter how positively you think, you're not going to change it.
Right.
Many times have you fallen off a step or fallen off a ladder and wished you could have changed the law of gravity?
Right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
How many times have you thrown a baseball at a window and wished you could have changed the law of momentum? I was watching a little bit of the Little League World Series this week, Brother Mike. It was hilarious. I love watching these little guys play ball. I'd rather watch them play ball than pros any day. They got something to prove, and they lose a ball game. They get kicked out of the World Series because they lost. You say, what do? They go sit in the stands and eat hot dogs and cheer. I love it. But this one kid, he was throwing a pitch, and he doinked it on the ground. Catcher missed it. And it came back, and it hit the television camera. Smash! Shattered the lens all over the field. And they showed the replay through the camera that got smashed. It was great. And the announcers, my wife will tell you, I was giggling so loud. My poor dog was looking at me, goose going. My little beagle just turning her head, looking at me. And I'm laughing because the announcer said, how many of us men did that as boys? But we ran. There's nowhere for that boy to run. He said, for the first time in his life, he broke something. And he said, that's okay, we'll clean it up. And I was laughing. They had stopped the game, cleaned it up so the kids didn't get glass everywhere. I thought it was funny. Now, wait a minute. He couldn't let go of that ball and power of positive thinking get that ball to hit that catcher's glove. There was a law that could not be broken. Now, I say that to say this. Our words, though, are very powerful. What we say and how we say what we say has a very big impact on our life and other people's lives. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We hold within our jaws the ability to give life or to hurt someone's life just by our words. Our words are very powerful. Now, you know, when somebody said something mean to you and you were a child, you know, the sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words can hurt you. They may not hurt your skin and hurt your bone, but they do hurt you. But may I say this, how we say what we say and what we say, we have the ability to give life and we have the ability to take life away. I spend my life trying to pump life into people. I spend my life trying to encourage and comfort and uplift. And every once in a while I have to correct. Every once in a while I have to chastise. But it's not often. But I'm there to pick up as well as lift. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Stoltz, stand up here. You can put your Bible down. You're not that spiritual. Now, let me show you what I mean. How many of you have started a day off and you felt pretty good? Y'all, it doesn't happen very often, all right? But then you meet somebody along the way and they'll say, Brother Stoltz, you feeling okay?
I was.
You don't look like you feel real well. Are you sure you're okay?
thought it was.
Are you sure? You really don't look good. And that's not unusual because he never looks good to me. But, you know, your eyes don't look good. Are you sure? Are you feeling okay?
Maybe feeling a little rough.
You look a little bit more than a little rough. Are you sure you're okay?
No, maybe I should go see the doctor.
All right, why don't you have a seat there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You can convince somebody they don't feel as good as they thought they felt. You say, why? Just because enough people walked up and said, you sure you're feeling okay? You know, you get this complex by the end of the day. Yeah, I'm feeling fine. At least I think it was. I've gotten to the point now, people ask me, I'll see somebody, I'll be walking along, I'll say, good morning, how are you? They'll say, doing fine, how are you? I am doing fantastically. There was a lady out front the other morning. I went to the bank, came back. She was out smoking her cigarette. As she's smoking. And I said, good morning, how are you? She said, I am doing well. How about you? I said, fantastically. She said, wow. I said, wow? She said, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. I said, because you haven't met me before. She said, you really believe it, don't you? I said, I know it. I said, ma'am, I'm on my way to heaven someday. I don't have to die and go to hell. How could it not be fantastic? She sucked on her cigarette and walked away from me. Now, I wasn't mad at her. But can I tell you something? I wasn't about to let somebody tell me I wasn't feeling good. If I'm not careful, I'll listen to what everybody says. I can get discouraged. You know one reason I don't Google my name to find out what people are saying about me? That's a good way to get depressed. I don't have Facebook to find out all who my enemies are saying things about me. Let them say it behind my back. I don't need to listen to it. And me knowing what they said isn't going to change what they said, so why should I know what they said? Everybody doing all right? You say, well, preacher, people wouldn't say bad things about you. Right. You preach as much as I do and like I do, they're going to say things. Now, I say that to say this. Our words have power. Just like Brother Stoltz was feeling well and we convinced him he wasn't. Come on back up here. He could be not feeling real well this morning. Hey, Brother Stoltz, how you doing this morning? You doing all right? Hey, guess what? You got a chance to go out there and run your bus route this morning. You're going to be picking boys and girls up and teenagers and mamas and daddies, and they're going to come to church and hear the word of God preached, and God's going to be able to use you to change people's lives. Man. Hey, how's it going today?
Hey, man, it's going good.
And all of a sudden, we picked up a little bit of life in him.
Yes. Wow. Well, glory!
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Thank you, Brother Jimbo. That wasn't even in my notes. Now, I say that just by the power of our words, we can make someone stronger or we can make them weaker. Just by the power of our own words, we can make ourselves stronger or weaker.
Yes, sir.
We spend way too much time talking about and hearing things that tear us down. We spend way too much time listening to and saying things that tear us down. I'm going to make a statement here. We don't talk about Jesus enough.
Amen.
We don't. Can I tell you why some of you are afraid to talk about Jesus? Because you never talk about Jesus. The more you talk about Jesus, the more you'll talk about Jesus.
Amen.
The more you talk about Jesus, the bolder you get.
Amen.
The more you talk about something that strengthens, the stronger you get. Amen. The more you talk about something that will tear you down, the more tore down you get.
Yes,
people who go soul winning often seem like they have more boldness. Can I tell you why they have more boldness? Because they talk about Jesus more. And the more you talk about him, the less fear you have of talking about him. The people in our church that invite people to church everywhere they go, they're not ashamed of our church.
That's right.
Brother George, I came back after I met you yesterday morning and I said, I got to start taking gospel tracts to the dumpster every time I go because I'm meeting people at the dumpster. I did. I texted a couple people and said, man, I got to start taking gospel tracks with me to the dumpster. I can hear old brother Carl Hatch. Bless God, you don't have gospel tracks. You're not right with God. Old Carl Hatch, he was an old Baptist preacher, stubborn hell-raising preacher. He'd walk into a men's room, and he'd pull out gospel tracks. Reading material. He's shoving them underneath the couch. Reading material. I watched him do it. Promise you. Said, got a captive audience. Yeah. Well, good old brother Hatch, man. If you were sitting on the platform, you didn't have gospel tracks, he would make you a sermon illustration, and you didn't do it. Amen? I mean, I felt convicted after I met him out here and didn't even have a gospel track to give him. By the way, I've got some on me right now. Amen? I fixed it. Amen, Brother Stoltz. Now, wait a minute. The more you talk about the church, guess what? The less you're embarrassed to talk about the church.
Amen.
Now, Brother and Mrs. Barnes and my wife and I, a couple weeks ago, went to a Nationals baseball game. He had been given some tickets by somebody at work, and we went to the Nats game. I love baseball. I don't spend time doing it anymore. I don't have a lot of time to follow it, but I love baseball. I love going. There's very little in this world that's as pretty as a well-kept baseball field to me. I just enjoy it. I enjoy the sport. We got there, and it was 100 degrees outside. We're all melting. The whole world is melting. Fortunately, we sat on the side of the field. They got the shade first, but it didn't matter because it was still hot. And I was sitting there looking around, about 40,000 people there. I leaned over to Brother Mrs. Barnes. I said, you realize when Brother Hiles was alive, we had crowds in church this size? He said, you're kidding. I said, no. So we had Sundays, we had five Sundays in a row, over 40,000 in church. He say, what were you thinking about? I was hoping they'd give me a microphone in 10 minutes. You say, preacher, wouldn't you have been afraid? Not in the least bit. There would have been 40,000 people afraid, but I wouldn't have been afraid. I was looking for a way to figure it out, amen? I took some of the men up to a Frederick Keys game the other night, and we were trying to figure the crowd. There was less people there than used to be on a Wednesday night church service for Brother Hiles. Right. I've preached in front of crowds bigger than was at the Keys game. You say, what was you looking for, the microphone? Say, preacher, you wouldn't have done it.
Oh, yeah.
Watch me.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Wouldn't have bothered. You say, wouldn't you be afraid? Not at all. They ought to be afraid. They're dying going to hell. I'm not.
Amen.
Right. Can I tell you something? You don't get that just by saying that. You get that by doing it. And you talk about Jesus enough, you get a little bit of boldness about you. You start building that strength. Now, let me take the other side of that. And don't get mad at me. It'll be all right. But how can somebody like Hillary Clinton spread the lies that she spreads? How can the United States media constantly lie to the American people and it not bother them? How can people say things that aren't true, promoted as true, and it does not bother them because they do it enough to where they believe it and they become good at it? Yeah, buddy. Now, watch this. And I'm going to be human for a second. Not that I'm not all the time, but every once in a while, preachers get a little down. I wouldn't call it discouraged. I'm never depressed. But every once in a while, you get a little down. Everybody has those days. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There was one day here recently, I was just a titch down. And a preacher called me. He called me because he said, preacher, I'm a little discouraged. Now, I didn't say, good, so am I. You say, why? Because we'd have had a pity party and we both probably would have gotten in trouble. I said, what are you discouraged for? He began to tell me. It was the same area I was discouraged about. I'm not kidding. I was like, okay, fake it till you make it. I said, Doc, you shouldn't get discouraged. You know what to do. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. Come on, man. You can do this. We got done. I prayed with him. Hung up the phone. Guess what? I found myself encouraged about what I was discouraged about 10 minutes ago.
Amen.
Say how? I helped him get out of his discouragement, but it helped me get out of mine.
Amen.
Say, what'd you do? Went out and told somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
I was ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. Now, can I tell you something? I didn't tell him I was down. Say why? Because we had a pity party together. I had to pull him out of his discouragement, even though I was as discouraged as he was. I didn't tell him I was discouraged. I started telling him things that would encourage him. And can I tell you something? We got encouraged.
Amen.
He doesn't know God used him to encourage me to encourage him. Man, it was a double whammy.
Amen.
God sent somebody who was down when I was down so I could bring them up so God could bring me up by bringing them up. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
So many of us, how you feeling today? Oh, this hurts, that hurts, this hurts, that hurts. Think I'm just going to sit here and hurt. Okay, well, I'm going to hurt too, but I'm going to get up and get moving.
Amen.
I'm going to help somebody even though I hurt today. Brother Brian and I were talking this morning. He said, feeling pretty good. Got this that hurts. I said, yeah, when you get our age, if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. You got to be careful here, you know. Now, do you want to be stronger spiritually? Do you want to be more bold about Jesus and about church? Wouldn't you like to be more bold about that book right there?
Yes.
Wouldn't you like to understand and be stronger in your faith? I'm going to show you how today, very quickly. It's interesting. Psalm 71, verse 24 says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Here's somebody that has somebody, you have the psalmist here who God is talking about and said, look, there are people attacking you, but as long as you talk of my righteousness, you're going to be okay, and they're going to be confused. Did you know my enemies usually quit attacking me after a while? Can I tell you why? Because they don't let them affect me. I don't. I don't answer their criticisms. I don't fire back. I just go out and win more people and get more visitors at church and watch God change more people's lives. And let the devil eat my dust.
Yes, sir.
I don't think my enemies are bad people. I think they're misguided. I think they're using their tongue and the power of their tongue the wrong way, but I'd rather them shoot at me than shoot at somebody else. I can take it. I'm not about to let them get me down. Now, let me show you a little recipe God gives for this, and I want to help you today. Number one, you learn to pray by talking to God. I'm going to make a statement to you. I've been in full-time ministry for 27 years. I've been preaching now for 36 years. I've been preaching since I was 13 years old. I'm 49 years old. I've preached in 32 different states. I've preached all over the country. I've preached to crowds of one, and I've preached to crowds of over 5,000. I've seen tens and tens and tens of thousands of people saved. God has allowed me to preach probably over 21, 22,000 sermons in the last 27 years. Can I tell you something? Prayer was one of the hardest things for me to learn.
Right.
One of the hardest things in the Christian life to get really is prayer. But can I tell you what prayer really is? It sure did help me the day I realized prayer is just talking to God.
That's right.
And the more I talked to God, the easier it was to pray. Did you know you don't have to get on your hands and your knees and say, oh, thou great God of Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and all the other Boam brothers, Jehoshaphat and the other fat fellas, you don't have to get on your knees and use all these pretty fancy words. You don't have to use any certain terminology. Matter of fact, I know a Baptist preacher in the Bible, when he got in trouble, he prayed. He prayed two words, Lord help. Now, I'm not real bright, and I can be a redneck when I need to be, but let me tell you something, Lord help is pretty easy prayer. Can I tell you something? You talk to God like you talk to somebody else. And the more you talk to God, guess what? The easier it is to talk to him. I remember the first time I met my wife after I had knocked her on the ground. She came out of a closet, and I was walking down the hall, and she had brooms and mops and buckets in her hands, and they went flying, and she went on the floor, and there I was in a Bible college, and went, That wasn't real good. Helped her pick everything up. The next day she was there. Said hello to her. Next day she was there. And the Lord says, hey, stupid, why don't you ask her out for a date? That's 3 days in a row. I said, well, she does it again, I'll be there. And there she was the fourth day. I had to talk to her. Then I asked her out for a date. And I was even more nervous and thinking, okay, I talked to her for 2 minutes in the hallway of the college. Now I got to take her on a date for an hour or two. What in the world am I going to talk about? That was 29 years ago, this coming October 10th. We've been married for 27 of those years. We've done a whole lot of talking since. I am not afraid to talk to her. Can I tell you why? Because I started talking to her. I remember I was 29 years old. And I was asked to work for Brother Hiles on staff at the largest church in the world. I'm 29 years old. I'm a nobody. And here I am. I'm getting ready to go into a men's staff meeting on a Saturday night. There's about 14 others going into this meeting to sit there with Brother Hiles. And I've talked to Brother Hiles a handful of times in my life, and now I work for him. And I'm thinking, I hope he doesn't ask me to talk. I remember the first time it was just him and I talking. I was scared to death. I picked him up at an airport one time when I was an assistant pastor, and I had to take him from the airport to the hotel or from the hotel to the church. Man, I was shaking. I remember talking to him thinking, man, I'm glad that's over with. It was great, but I'm glad that's over with. I got to do that several times. Then I'm working for him. Can I tell you something? After I talked to him for a little while, I learned to like to talk to him. When I started working for him, I'd walk by his office every time I had to go in or out of the building or down to one of those floors, just in case his door popped open so I could talk to him for a second. Say why? Because I started talking to him, and I learned how to talk to him, and I enjoyed talking to him. That's the same way with prayer. When you start talking to God, you learn how to talk to God, and you enjoy talking to God. So you want to talk to God more. That's all prayer is. Now, if you start hearing voices back, it's not God. Okay? He doesn't answer that way anymore. But the Bible says that God spoke to Moses as a man speaketh unto a man. Did you know that God knows our language and knows how to talk to us? We were created in his image. Young people, listen to me. God made you in his likeness. And God wants to spend time with you, and he understands you better than you understand you. And he made you to be able to converse with him. Now, the reason you need to get saved is because man's spirit is dead until he gets born again. Once his spirit is reborn, then he has the ability to talk to God. Now, we were made in God's image, and he wants to talk to us. So, you learn to pray by talking to God. And as you talk to God more, you like prayer more. Can I tell you something? I was praying for somebody yesterday morning, out of state, pastor friend of mine. And I said, I was up early. I was praying for you. This is what I was praying. And he texted me back and said, thank you, Brother Bush. He said, thank you for taking time to pray for me. Do you know what my response back was? I said, no, thank you. I said, it's my honor. I said, I get to go to the God of the universe and talk on your behalf. I said, I get to spend time with God just to pray for you. I said, no, thank you. That's how I look at it. Now, the more you pray, the more you learn to talk to God, and the more you talk to God, the more you learn to pray, and you'll enjoy it more, and your prayer life will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Number two, God talks to us now by that book right there. This is God talking to you. Prayer is you talking to God. I don't care what Oral Roberts said. He didn't see a 900-foot Jesus. That's called bad pizza before you go to bed. Or bad clams. Amen, Brother Stoltz. Brother and Mrs. Stoltz and my wife and I went out to dinner last night. And we went to one of these Oriental buffet places. I had this thing that had several different seafoods in it. One of the seafoods in it was clams. My wife gets grossed out by these things. Well, I looked at the first one, and this little clam, it was de-shelled and everything, but it looked like it had something hairy in it. And I thought, I better see what that is. And I popped that thing open, and it had like a fur ball in it of seaweed. And it was stuck in there so bad you couldn't even pull it out. Brother Stoltz said, that's cool, let me see it. I said, yeah, go ahead, because I'm not going to eat that one. But I had two more on there, and I popped them open. They're clean, down the hatch they go. I said, they just happened to miss that one. Now, my wife was like, I can't believe you ate that. I didn't eat that once. I didn't eat anything in there. It's just one little thing. Who cares? I've eaten far worse, I'm sure. Now, wait a minute. God talks to us through the Bible. Now, can I tell you something? These are the words of God.
Amen.
Psalm 71 are not David's words. They're God's words. The book of Matthew are not Matthew's words. They're God's words. My Bible says that God settled his word before the foundation of the world. The word of God was written before the world was ever created. He gave it to man word by word so that we would have it. By the way, that's why we don't need all the stupid perversions out there. Those are man's opinions of God's words. Those are not God's words. We need God's words, which are the King James Bible. The man's words interpreting God's words aren't real. They're imposters. All right? Can I tell you something? The more you read that Bible, the more you understand it. The more you hear that Bible preached, the more you understand it. The more you come to Sunday school, the more you understand that book, and the more you understand God, because God's speaking to you through his words. I talked to a young man this week. He asked me a certain question, and he was leading up to something that is a process, and I said, hey, Doc, I said, the Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I said, where are you going with this? I said, what's your end goal? He said, well, this is what your end goal is. I said, let's just put all cards on the table. Is this the end where you're headed? Yes. I said, then, if we know what the end is, let's back up and figure out what the process is to get there. I said, for you to ask me what the next step is, but I don't know what the end is, what good is that? I said, if I'm going to ask you how to get from Martinsburg to Inwood and you don't know where either of them are, how are you going to get there? Just taking another step might be a step in the wrong direction. I said, so we got to know what the end is before we know where we're going to start here. I said, for me to give you a baby step, you might need a big boy step. I said, let's get to the end, and then we'll start here and work our way, work plan through this. He said, Brother Bush, nobody talks to people like that anymore. I said, well, you just met one. I said, that's what God said for us to do. Those aren't my words. Those are God's words. I said, if we know what the end is, then we can start at the beginning and have a plan to get there and do it the right way. I said, I realize you could have a flat tire. You could have a bump in the road. You could have a little detour on there, but at least we're going to be going the right direction at the right speed in the right way. He said, man, you just made that easier. I said, no, I just made it harder on you. You just don't know it. Now, can I tell you something? We ought to read this book every day of our life. I thank God I read that book every day of my life. Heard some yard bird preacher on the stupid radio a couple months ago. Said, I think I read through the Bible once in my life in 1 year. I thought, you ought to hang your Bible up, quit your church, and get an honest job. Any preacher that gets up and says he can't read through his Bible in a year isn't doing much.
That's right.
But he's a deeper lifer and thinks he's deep in the Word of God. Puke. If a man of God can't read that book in 1 year, something's not right.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, I'm on my third time through this year, just so you know.
Yes.
That's not my study. That's just my reading.
Amen.
And I'm nobody. I'm not the brightest star in the sky or sharp as knife in the drawer. I read this because I have to have it. The Bible says it's my necessary food. I made a promise to God a long time ago. I wouldn't poke the pie hole with food till I poked my brain with God's word. And I spend time in that book. You say, why? Because I need it. I think we ought to be at Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, and Wednesday night church. I don't think you're strong enough to make it through life with just one meal a week. How can you make it through one spiritual week with only one meal a week? Everybody doing all right? Now, I've eaten enough food from yesterday. I don't need to eat for a while. But we need to get as much of the Word of God. By the way, the right kind, too. Just because you listen to these Yardbirds on the radio or TV doesn't mean you're getting something spiritual.
Right.
And we won't go there. Can I tell you something? The more you talk about that book, the stronger you'll get in that book. Do you know there's not a person in the world I'm afraid to talk to about the Bible? I was glad I met Mr. Jones back here. I was not planning on meeting him. I had a bag full of trash. But guess what? He found out I wasn't afraid of it. And I knew what I was talking about. Not because I'm arrogant, not because I'm cocky, but I got the Word of God. I knew what I was dealing with. Now, so number one, we need to learn to pray by talking to God. Number two, God talks to us through the Bible. Number three, by the way, these are powerful words. When I stand at the door, out soul winning, come on up here, lost sinner. Yeah, buddy. I knock on Joe's door, and I begin to talk to this fella, and I tell him, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of glory of God. Hey, Joe, I'm a sinner. Have you ever sinned?
Yep.
Yes, you have. And if you said no, that would have been your first, all right? Because God says, if any man says he's not a sinner, he's a liar, and lying sin. Guess what? You're a sinner. Those aren't my words. They're God's words. God said the wages of sin is death. Proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die. Romans 6:23. Guess what? That's what it's all about. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, not through Grace Baptist Church, not through the baptistry downstairs, not through giving money to the church, not through being a good person. It's through what Jesus Christ did for you. And that's how you tell somebody to get to heaven. Thank you. Can I tell you something? The more you start talking about the Bible, the more the Bible makes sense to you. You know, teenagers think they know everything about life. And when they start getting out on their own, they start finding out adults make living adult life a lot easier looking than it is. Yeah, buddy. Young married couples that don't have any babies sure know how to raise kids till they got their own. Once they start having them puppies, they find out they don't come with an instruction manual that says, do this here. And then when they become teenagers, if they ever live through it or you live through it, it's a miracle. Now, I say that to say this. The more you experience something, the stronger you get at it. Number three. Can I tell you another way to get strong about your words? Learn to sing about God. Learn to sing about Jesus and you'll get stronger. You know, the world is strong about the devil. Can I tell you why? Look at what they sing about. The world is strong about immorality. Look at their music. The world is strong about drug addiction and drug usage and sinfulness. Can I tell you why? Listen to their music. You got these whoremongers and idiots out there, the Miley Cyruses and all the other gang out there, and they're nothing but a bunch of sinful, wicked, vile people. Can I tell you why? Look at what they sing about. The more you sing about Jesus, the stronger you're going to be. Hey, sing with me for a second here. Let's sing the song, Let's Talk About Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. You recognize that song, Brother George? I come through the corner of the building yesterday morning singing that very song.
Amen.
You say, what was it? I was talking about Jesus. I was singing back. Nobody was around, I thought. I don't sing out loud if I think somebody's going to hear me. Wait a minute. I was just having a good time, me and God. After I saw Brother George, I threw the trash away. We had prayed and talked for a little bit. I came back, checked the mail, and I started singing Psalm 48, verse 1. Sing it with me. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great king. Guess what? You start singing like that, guess who you start thinking about? I wasn't thinking about something sinful. I was thinking about soul winning, telling somebody how to get out of hell. I was thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about the Word of God. I started singing, He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I kept thinking of some of these evil people that are going to have to bow their knee to Jesus Christ someday. Some of these vile, evil people that think they're God are going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ someday. And I started having fun. You say, what did that? I started getting encouraged.
Yes,
I did. I started getting courage to go out there. Tell others about him. Say, how? By singing. Let me ask you a question. What do you sing about?
Right.
Whatever you sing about is what you're going to be strong about. That's why all these country western singers are drunkards. They sing about their booze.
Right.
That's why a bunch of them are thieves. And they lose their money in gambling because they sing about gambling and drinking. That's why they cheat on their spouses all the time. They can't stay married to one person. Everybody doing all right? And back in the 70s and 80s, they used to have something called backmasking. They'd take rock music and play it backwards, and it said different things. Today, if you play country music back, you get your truck back, you get your dog back, you get your wife back. Now, I say that to say this. What are you singing about? You wonder why young people have a bad attitude? What are they singing about? You keep your kids singing the right kind of music, I'll keep them going the right kind of direction. I didn't say they're going to be perfect. But I did say this, you'll keep them going the right direction. They might stumble and fall, but they're not going to fall as far if you keep them singing the right music. Hey, what are they listening to? What are they strong at? You wonder why the Hollywood crowd can be as wicked and as vile as they are, because they're doing it publicly and it doesn't bother them anymore.
Yes, sir, that's
right. There's so much I want to come back tonight. I'm going to be pretty rough tonight. If you want to see an old-fashioned fit being thrown tonight by a Baptist preacher, come tonight. Can I tell you something? You ought to sing at church. Sing the hymns of God. Thank God our church sings the old-fashioned songs.
Amen.
We're not changing them. We're not bringing drums and electric guitars, and we're not going to have a jam service up here. We're not going to have people having a praise and worship service, jigabooing and jumping up and down, swaying to the music. We're not going to have a rock concert. We're singing old-fashioned songs the old-fashioned way.
Amen.
We're not going the contemporary Christian way. Sound like a bunch of country western singers in a honky-tonk either.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? I believe in the old-fashioned music, the old-fashioned way.
Amen.
We ought not have Christian singers singing with the sensual, breathy, slidey garbage of today.
Right.
I get tired of people sounding like Debbie Boone and Linda Ronstadt singing in gospel songs.
Amen.
Hello. I know I just dated myself, but that's all right. I'm not ashamed of it. Bless God, when you get up and sing, sing it right and sing it pure.
Yes.
Sing it holy. Sing it to God.
Amen.
By the way, it strengthens you more. You'll talk about Jesus more.
There you go.
I'll be honest with you. I want to say something here. It might surprise you. Brother George over here scared the bejeebers out of me yesterday. I wasn't ready for him to come walking around that corner. Yeah, he got this little dog, ferocious little thing, you know. It might bite my little toe off if he had a chance, you know. But wait a minute. I wasn't expecting to see him. But you know, it wasn't real hard to talk about church because I was just singing about Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not sure if I was singing the wrong song, I'd have had the courage to talk to him. Everybody doing all right? If I hadn't been praying and reading my Bible and singing about Jesus, I'm not sure I'd have had the courage to talk to him. And he's sitting here today because of it.
Amen.
Where'd you get that courage, preacher? Singing about Jesus, reading what God said, and talking to God yesterday morning. You've heard me say this over and over. Every time I go soul winning and I knock on somebody's door, I'm human like you. My first thought is, man, I hope they're not home. Tell you why. Because people scare me.
But something happens when I hear that click, click, click of the door opening up, not the ch-ch-ch of the shotgun racking. I hear that door open up. I got a gospel track in my hand and say, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. Going through the air, y'all get to go to church somewhere regular? No? You're just the person I came to see. We talk a little while, and then I'll say, Rich, are you sure, 100% sure you go to heaven someday if you died? And they tell me usually, no. And I open up my Bible and take them down the gospel road of Romans and show them how to get saved. And they bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank God for it. I've won people to Christ that nobody else wanted to talk to. Right, Fred? While he sat in my office and said, don't you come by, Fred. We'll talk to you. He's chased a lot of preachers off. I said, he ain't met me yet. And they found one he couldn't chase off. After several months and two near-death experiences, bowed his head in his own living room and trusted Jesus and hadn't missed since. Amen? And he was supposed to have been dead 8 months ago. I was thinking of Sherry's brother, Ricky. Knocked on his door. Been praying for him. He'd been sick, cancer, different things. She said, now, preacher, I'm not sure what he's going to say to you. I said, don't worry. She said, I'm not sure what he's going to say or do. I said, it's okay. My son and I knocked on his door, began to talk to him for a little bit. What a nice guy. I opened up my Bible and said, Ricky, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday? He said, no. I said, wouldn't you like to know that? He said, I sure would. And in about 5 minutes, that fellow bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I didn't know it. But my son, while we had our heads bowed and our eyes closed, reached back and grabbed his phone and took a picture of that man getting saved. And there I am, standing at the door with that man with his head bowed. I'm praying, he's praying, getting saved at that very second.
Yes,
sir. I come back, told Larry that he got saved. Larry started crying. Larry told Sherry, she was crying. 5 weeks later, he went to heaven. Can I tell you something? I was glad I was in tune with God that day.
Amen.
Say, you heard he might not listen to you. No, but he might listen to me.
Yes, sir.
You say, where do you get that kind of boldness, preacher? Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I was over at Sheets the other day getting coffee. Yeah, the Sheets around here see the preacher coming. The people that work there know who I am. But everybody else, look out. I walked in and I was whistling, humming. Fellow looked at me, looked like he had been up for 3 days straight. I was standing at the coffee trough with him. I'm over there whistling away. He said, you're awful happy for this hour of the morning. I said, sir, if you knew who my boss was, you'd be the happiest man in the world, too. He said, your boss makes you that happy? I said, oh, yeah. My boss makes me real happy. He said, you work for yourself? I said, no, sir. He said, I've never seen anybody say their boss made them that happy. Who's your boss? I said, God.
Oh.
You know, there's no place to hide in Sheets. He didn't even know what to say. Say, what'd you do? Reached in my pocket, gave him a gospel tract, told him who I was, where I was from, told him to stop by and see me. He'd find out why I'm so happy. He couldn't get out of Sheets fast enough. He really couldn't. No lie. I was walking out the door, and I could hear the guy telling his buddy, that's one crazy preacher. He doesn't know I heard him. I want to turn around and say, thank you. But it's all right. Can I tell you something? I'm not this way by nature. I'm a shy person by nature. I know you don't believe that. But I am. Now, wait a minute. Let's sing about him. Let's talk to him. Young people, listen to me. We learn to pray by talking to him. We sing about him. We get stronger. We listen to him talk to us by the word of God. And number four, let's tell others about him. Let's tell others about him. I'm going to say something that I hope bothers you like it bothers me. I am sick and tired of the people that talk about the devil and sin having more courage than people that are going to heaven and talk about forgiveness. I think it's a sin and a shame that we're afraid to talk about Jesus, but it's okay to talk about sex, drugs, rock and roll, and all the filth of the world.
Yes, amen.
I am not about to let the devil's crowd have more boldness about their filthiness than I have about the righteousness of God. I'm not about to do it. Brother Mike and I were somewhere one day, and I said, shame on the devil. Man, you should have seen the head snapping. Brother Mike says, yeah, shame on him, preacher. He was egging me on. Yeah, he can get me in trouble in public because he knows how to push my buttons to get me going. I got to limit my time. We'll get in trouble together. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you why some of you are afraid to talk about Jesus in public? Because you never talk about him at home amongst your family. You know, God ought to be a regular topic in your house. Now, it doesn't have to be 24/7, but you ought to not be afraid to talk to your family about God.
Amen.
Right. Did you know you shouldn't be afraid to talk to your children about God? Did you know you ought not be afraid to talk to your parents about God? Or your family that lives there with you? It ought to be something natural.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? We ought not be afraid to tell lost people about him. You know, if Joe's dying and going to hell, I ought not be afraid to walk up and say, Joe, do you know for sure you're going to heaven someday?
Right.
I remember the day he called me. He said, preacher, my daddy, would you pray for him? I said, I'll do more than pray for him. You've set up a meeting and I'll come talk to him. He got him cornered at the farm one day. I drove all the way up there, stood at the end of the barn, opened up my Bible and won Joe's daddy to the Lord. Joe's daddy, I didn't know till after I was done, had chased people off the farm. I mean, chased them off the farm. He and I had a great conversation. Watch that man. He'd ask me a question. I'd show him in the Bible what it said. He'd ask me another question. Show him in the Bible what it said. Then I opened up and started asking him questions and took him down the Romans road. Watch that man bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. You say, why? Because we're supposed to talk about Jesus.
Right.
You say, doesn't it bother you when somebody says, that person's mean? No, not at all. Because Jesus has a way of taking care of all that.
True.
Now, it does bother me when Brian says his dog bites. Because that's a big dog. But wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We ought to tell others about him. We ought not be ashamed of it. We ought not be ashamed in public to bow our head and pray with somebody.
Right.
Ever. He say, somebody might see me. No. Did you know that when you go out to eat at a restaurant, it's not wrong for you to pray out loud at the restaurant?
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about you sitting there and you pretend like you dropped your fork and say, Lord bless the food, thank you for it, amen. As you pick it back up. I'm also not suggesting that you get up and say, all right, let's pray for the food, everybody. Dear God, and scream and holler. I think there's a propriety.
Yes,
but did you know amongst your family it's not wrong to pray?
Right.
Young people, listen to me. I don't care what the government says. You can read your Bible in the public school and you can pray in the public school.
Amen.
It is not illegal.
Amen.
It's illegal to be school sponsored, but it's not illegal for you to do it. When I my eighth grade up through my eighth grade year, I went to the public schools. I took that Bible to a public school with me every day for a year. I know what it's like. I'm not afraid of it. And an English teacher tried to fail me. All my papers I wrote about church and God and soul winning. She'd fail me. Had to take my papers to the principal and he said, you've given him the topics, he's written about them, grade the papers. He was a Christian man, Mr. Hartwick.
Amen.
So she picked out a topic one day, a bus ride. I worked on a bus route for the church. I talked about my church bus route.
Yeah.
No lie. She found out I was not returning to public school. I was going to Christian high school. She pulled me out of class, into the hallway, pointed her bony little ugly finger in my face, and she said, "Young man, you are so arrogant, you're going to do nothing in life. You'll not be successful. You'll never graduate from anywhere, and you'll never do anything productive for this world because of your attitude and your arrogance about Christianity." Well, I graduated from Bible college in 4 years. Married the most wonderful person in the world. We've been in the ministry full-time for 27 years. Preached in 32 different states. Have seen tens and tens of thousands of people saved. Right. Guess she didn't know what she was talking about, did she? Now, wait a minute. She made me stronger.
Great.
I'm not. I wish I could find her. Hopefully she's not burning in hell.
Now, wait a minute. Let's tell our friends about him. Let's tell our neighbors about him. My wife and I are known in the neighborhood as the preacher. The preacher lives there. The preacher lives there. My entire subdivision knows where the preacher lives. And I haven't, you know, I don't set church vehicles out there, and I don't have a sign in my front yard that's 40 foot wide that says Pastor of Grace Baptist Church. They just know that's where the preacher lives. Can I tell you something? You can tell your coworkers about him.
Right. Yep.
Now, be careful on company time what you do for the Lord. But you can tell your coworkers about it. It's amazing to me. People can talk about cheating on their spouse or getting drunk or doing something sinful on the job and it's okay, but you go to talk about God and it's wrong. Mm-hmm. I've won many a coworkers to Christ when I worked in machine shops in different places I've worked. Now, let's talk about Jesus everywhere we go. Let's not be afraid to talk about Jesus everywhere we go. This whole world is starved for good, truthful, positive conversation. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking.
Right.
But death and life are in the power of the tongue.
That's right.
And we have the ability to give life. By the way, did you know God put the responsibility of giving eternal life through our tongues? We don't have the responsibility of eternal life, but we have the responsibility of getting eternal life to people. God doesn't come down and witness to anybody. He put that on us. He told us we're supposed to give unto them the words of eternal life. There's people in this room, you'd have died and gone to hell had a preacher not had the guts to get up and tell you the truth. Not because I'm mean and nasty, but because I care about people not dying and going to hell. I'll tell it to you plain and straight. I'm going to preach standards and convictions, and I'm going to preach this book as straight as it comes. You say, you're just old-fashioned. So's God. Don't worry about it. Did you know in the old-fashioned days we didn't have to have metal detectors in the schools? I could go on and on and on. But can I tell you something? We ought not be ashamed of it.
That's right.
Well, somebody might laugh at me. Oh, come here and let me burp you too. I'm so sorry. I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks.
Right.
I just got to get the truth out.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Who's going to die and go to hell because you won't tell them how to get to heaven? Who's not going to get the strength they need to make it to church because you won't tell them or invite them? We ought not be ashamed of it. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. Nothing.
True.
You have the perfect, holy, eternal Word of God to talk with, the Holy Spirit of God inside you if you've been saved to help you as you do it. Can I tell you something? Let's just talk about Jesus.
True.
That's how you get stronger. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Give me just a moment. We'll have our invitation. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know it for sure." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, "Preacher, if I die today, and I'm not going to come to you, I'll not call your name, I'll not embarrass you." But who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm not really 100% sure I'd go to heaven. But someday I'd like to know that." Would you raise your hand? All right. Hoots a preacher somewhere inside that sermon was something I needed today. There's something in that sermon, maybe one or two or three or many points, it doesn't matter, but there was something in there that I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands everywhere. If you've been saved, never baptized, we can take care of that today. Been saved and baptized, like to join our church, you may do that. Maybe you just need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Just come as far forward as you can and get on your knees and pray about what the Lord spoke to you about. You won't be alone. You'll not come alone.